Good morning. Welcome to Martinsville Community Methodist. We want to rejoice today, even though it is dry. We will keep in mind the farmers today. And let us go ahead and open with prayer. Almighty God, you've kept us alive to praise and worship your holy name. You gathered to thank you for your grace and praise you in the house of the Lord. Your presence brings us strength, peace, and hope in our lives. While we all may be sinners, we are washed clean through your mercy, through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. To see the life and the grace that is all around us. To give thanks for the gift we have received, to notice the beauty and the promise of fall, to breathe deeply of the season, to accept the gift of love and the love in return. This is to worship God. Let's continue our responsive reading by joining in Psalm 102 on page 822. Psalm 102. Please join me. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let me cry, come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like furnace. My heart is smitten like grass and withered. I am too wasted to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning and my bones cleave to my flesh, I am like the owl of the wilderness, like the owl of the waste places. Lie awake. I am like a lonely bird on the housetop. All the day my enemies taunt me, and those who deter me use my name for a curse. For I eat ashes like bread, and mingle tears with my drink because of your indignation and anger. You've taken me up and thrown me away. My days are like evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. Your name endures to all generations. You'll arise and have pity on Zion. It is a time to favor it. The appointed time has come. For your servants hold its stones dear, and you have pity on its dust. The nations will fear the name of the Lord, and the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord will build up Zion and will appear in his glory. The Lord will reign in the prayer of destitute and will not despise their prayer. Let this be recorded for the generations to come, so that people yet unborn may praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his holy height from the heaven. The Lord looked down at the earth to hear the groan of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, and the name of the Lord may be declared in Zion and God's praise in Jerusalem, when the people and the kingdom gather together to worship the Lord. The Lord has broken my strength in mid-course and has shortened my days. Oh my God, I say, do not take me away in the midst of my days. You who hears years endure throughout all the generations. Of old you laid the fountains of the earth, and the heavens are at the work of your hands. They will perish, but you endure. They will wear out like garments. You will change them like a remnant, and they pass away. You are but the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their prosperity shall be established before you. So is the reading of the psalm. Today's reading comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin, which as easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So is the reading of the Word of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we rejoice in the opportunity to open your Word. We pray as we try to understand this transformation that you do, how you are seated at the right hand of God, you come with power and glory, and you are transforming our lives. And we just ask for understanding as I walk through your Word, trying to point out how you are transforming our lives. You are building our faith. It is not we ourselves. And we ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. Now, this week's topic is Jesus transforms. Last time we did Jesus saves. So whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that came right out of Romans. It says, Romans 10:13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now I want you to understand, once you've been saved, what's next? Now what? What do you do? Do you take a membership class at church? Do you go through a book? Do you travel to a distant land? You know, there's a lot of people that do all these things. And in many churches, they have a program that you have to go through, trying to make it sound like that's what's going to build your faith. But in fact, that's not the case whatsoever. First, we need to understand that Jesus started our faith, and he will finish it. And in the verse I read there in Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. When I memorized that verse many years ago, being a young man, it was always the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy set before him endures the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. He has all power, all glory, and Paul uses this sports metaphor. And as we first look at Jesus, you need to seek him out. And I think this is very important because so many people get this idea that, oh, I came up, I did the sinner's prayer, I'm now saved, I don't have to do anything else. No. You have to be transformed. And the way you get transformed is you lay aside every encumbrance of sin, you stare at Jesus, and you start following Jesus, and you seek after Jesus. And you want to remove all of these encumbrances to sin. Okay, this is part of the repentance, which means turning away. You can't continue down the same path you've been going. You have to seek Jesus, follow Jesus, pick up your cross daily, and walk with Jesus. And as we try to understand about this, setting aside all these encumbrances, we pull this story out of the book of Luke, which I think is so important. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And I know you've all heard the story of Martha and Mary, but I want to read it to you again. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She and her sister, called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listened to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She would come up to him and said, Lord, you do not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone, and tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which she will not be taken away from her. You see, here is a great story pointing out that we've got Martha, the busybody, doing lots of things, think all these things are important, and Mary, who is sitting at Jesus' feet, keeping her eyes on Jesus, absorbing everything Jesus is saying, trying to understand how to follow Jesus. And Martha is more concerned about whether all the guests are taken care of, whether there's food. He's a guest in their house. And realize this is Martha and Mary, or Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters. As you know, later on when Lazarus is sick and dies and Jesus calls him out of the grave, these are the two sisters that we're talking about. So this is earlier in their relationship. So I want you to understand that to remove these encumbrances of sin, you have to stop what you've been doing and change and start spending time with Jesus. You can spend time with Jesus in the scripture, spend time with Jesus in prayer. But you have to spend time with Jesus. You have to refocus your life, just as we have here with Mary. And that's important. And I love how Paul opens up this Hebrew saying there's a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Okay, the Bible that we have is full of saints and stories. And then on top of that, as you know, there's a whole wealth of over 2,000 years of Christianity. Lots of other great saints that have gone before us. And of course, we've got Peter, Paul, Mark, John. All of these disciples are right out of Scripture. But then you've got great men like A.W. Tozer and many others who have preached, have lived lives that have just been a great witness and testimony of men following Jesus and watching their lives be a witness and testimony for Christ. God has given us the Holy Spirit as a seal and promise to complete the work that He started with us. One of the issues that I have with a lot of people that come to Christ, and you have lots of ministries, they get this great idea, like I talked about, where you have to go take this class, you have to go do this, you have to read a book. That's not what it's about. You have to live a transformed life by following Jesus, by understanding who Jesus is. And it's Jesus that brought you to salvation. It's Jesus that has saved you. He's not going to abandon you. What He started, He's going to finish. And so He gives us the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go through a handful of verses here. First is 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verses 21 through 22, where it says, He who is established with you in Christ and anointed us in God, who has also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. I want to read that again. Now He who is established with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. You see, when you ask to be saved by Christ, He gives you His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a pledge and promise. You are sealed. And throughout the rest of your life, that Holy Spirit will work in you to transform your life. It is not optional. And to give you an understand where it says pledge, let me give you the definition of pledge. Pledge is a token, a sign of earnest, something else, something given as security for the performance of an act. The state of being held as a security or guarantor. So, receiving the Holy Spirit, having God reside in each of us, we have a guarantee that He's not going to leave us, He's not going to be separated from us, He's going to stay in us and finish the job of sanctifying our life. And then it says in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. So I want you to understand, once you are saved, you then become His possession. And you are transformed, not for the benefit of yourself, but for the glory of God. So many people put the center around us. It's us, us, us. No. It's God, God, God. God gives us the Spirit. God transforms our lives. God does this so that God will glorify Himself, not to lift us up so that we will be glorified. And then there's 2 Corinthians 5:5, where it says, He who has prepared for us this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. As you called on the name of Jesus and you were saved, you were given the Holy Spirit as a pledge because God has plans for you. This is not where you now are living your life for yourself. Life has now changed. You are now living life for the glory of God. That's the whole purpose of the whole thing, is to glorify God. So He has a purpose for your life. So those of you who are listening to my voice think that being a Christian means that you're saved and then you go off and do your own thing. Sorry. The idea of being saved is that now you are working for the King of Kings. And your whole life is being transformed so you can fulfill the task and plans that God now has for you in your life. And Jesus is calling you, and He will provide for what you need. Listen to Matthew 22, the marriage feast. I'm sure many of you heard this story, but I'm going to read it and listen to it. Then Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, by the way, that's very important, Jesus spoke in a lot of parables. And remember, He spoke in parables so that those who had the Spirit would understand, but those who did not have the Spirit would not understand. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding. And they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, telling them who had been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went on their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized the slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed the murderers and set the cities on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who are invited are not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main highways, and as many as you will find there, invite them to the wedding feast. Those slaves went out to the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came to look over the dinner guest, he saw a man there who had not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, "Fellow, friend, how did you come in here without your wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. And the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." And I read that because Jesus has called you in. He has given the Spirit as a promise. He's promised to transform your life. He's promised to transform your life from being where you were and to where he wants you to be. And at the great wedding feast, he dresses you in a white garment. Your sins have been forgiven. You are clean and you are able to attend. He provides all these things needed to build up your faith and do the tasks that he has decided that he wants you to do. Now, there are a lot of people, because again, the invitation in the story is to everybody, and both the good and evil are brought, but the evil don't bother to put on the wedding garments. They're not covered by the blood of Christ. They did not call on the name of Jesus. They just kind of slid in and they get tossed out. So keep in mind, as Jesus is calling you, he'll provide the wedding garments. He'll provide everything that you need to show up in front of God on Judgment Day. And his blood and the price that he paid will suffice, and you will skip the wrath of God, and he will provide everything you need to be there for the wedding. Now, as I said, the Holy Spirit will transform you. So I'm going to go through a series of verses here about that. 2 Corinthians 3:18, which says, But we all, with unveiled faces, behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Okay, understand. Once it starts, we are being transformed and molded to be like Christ. You remember that cliche that you've heard for many years? What would Jesus do? That's exactly what it's all about. What is Jesus doing? And you do what Jesus would do. Our lives are being transformed and sanctified for that purpose. And in fact, in Ezekiel in the Old Testament, chapter 36, verse 26 to 27, it says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." I want you to understand that part of this transforming process, God pulls this heart of evil out of us and gives us a new heart. The Holy Spirit will transform this heart, and usually it's a process. It's not something that happens overnight, but you will be transformed. And then in Titus 3, 5 and 6, it says, "He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, who he poured out upon us richly through Christ our Savior." Again, reiterating that the Spirit comes in us, it renews us, it transforms us. So many people think this is self-service. It's not. When we talk about once saved, always saved, once you're saved, Jesus takes you and transforms your life. If your life isn't being transformed, then you're not saved. Okay? And you have to, as we've stated from the beginning in Hebrews, the metaphor that Paul used for the sports. You have to follow Jesus. You have to run after Jesus. The direction he's going, you have to be going too. And you have to remove all those encumbrances of sin so that you can chase after Jesus and have your life transformed and renewed. And the last verse I will touch on will be Romans 12:2. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So as your life is being transformed, you have to accept that God is working in your life. So many people get anxious that, oh, why is this process taking so long? Why can't God just snap his fingers and I am transformed? Doesn't work that way. That's how McDonald's works, is you ask for it and you get it. Or if you're Burger King, you get it your way. Here in the kingdom of God, neither is true. You do not get it your way, and you don't get it quick. There is a process you go through as you are transformed day by day. So I want to make it clear. Once you call on Jesus to save you, he will transform you. It's guaranteed. If you're not being transformed, then you're not really following Jesus. You really didn't want him to save you. If you are being transformed, take comfort in that. If you are going through trials, take comfort in that. If you find things difficult and you're persecuted for being a Christian, people ridicule you for your faith. People say, "How can you believe that?" Then trust that Jesus is transforming your life, because we cannot follow the ways of the world. We need to follow the ways of Jesus. And remember, he is completing a work in you. Jesus placed his Holy Spirit in you physically. He's physically residing in you as a pledge and a promise to finish the work that he started. Amen. Now please stand and join me in the affirmation of faith from Romans on page 887. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. In all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now for the benediction. May God himself and God of peace sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you in faithfulness. And he will do it. Go in peace.